Welcome to the Biola Hour. I'm your host, Mike Hunt. On these B-sides, we invite students to process with us what they've been learning from the past episode. In this episode, I've got Justin Sinclair, Michael Ramirez, and Rayan Lopez with me. They've got a lot of great things to say. Let's just jump right in. Hey, what's going on? We're here at another B-side. The goal of these is to process with students what we heard in the earlier podcast. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome to you, too.
All right. Hey, let's go around, say our names, our year, our major, and, you know, maybe our favorite fall season song. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Why don't we start with you?
All right. So my name is Michael Ramirez. I am a junior accounting major, and my favorite fall season song is actually from their new EP that they dropped today, The Higher.
There you go. Okay.
My name is Justin Sinclair. I am a senior music composition major, also Mike's intern. Hey.
You edit all these too.
Huh? That's what I do. That's my job. My favorite for all season song is Eternal King.
There you
Savior. Yeah, it's good.
My name is Rayanne. I'm a communication science and disorders major. I am a senior, and my favorite for all season song is Bigger Than.
You know what? That is definitely mine too, Rayanne. Bigger Than is a really good song. Hey, you know, what stood out about the podcast earlier? What stood out about our live taping with For All Seasons?
I want to say something that stood out. So it was kind of cool and encouraging to see that, you know, these 2 out of 3 Biola grads.
Yeah.
Where
we love Johnny too.
Yeah. Johnny's great. You know, that they were seven years out into their journey. And I think a big thing that's really easy to do when you're in the midst of studying and in the midst of, you know, being at school, you get really, really caught up in just the everyday kind of things.
Yeah.
You get so caught up in, like, doing all your homework, mm-hmm. going to classes, making sure you're maintaining relationships. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere in there, you got to eat, you got to sleep, you got to, you know, maintain your health, right?
That's right.
And it's really easy to just kind of, like, forget that there's, like, life after Biola.
Mm.
As, like, strange as it sounds, you just kind of forget, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to graduate one day, I'm going to get a job, you know, like, even though you have all these people constantly reminding you of that.
Yeah.
It's really easy to forget that, like, what's happening right now isn't always going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was really awesome to see how they kind of reflected on what Biola taught them and, like, what they've learned outside of Biola and how their life has been 7 years outside of Biola. And that's been really, that was really rad.
Yeah. No, yeah. Oh, cool. Thanks for sharing.
Mine was when she said how she kind of was saying about the people pleasing.
Yeah.
That when they do things, it's not to get the, like, the people pleasing from people, but
yeah.
to know why they do it. And I think that's a good reminder for being in school,
yeah.
why I do what I do, instead of, like, oh, I have to impress someone else.
Yeah.
Or I have to get the A because someone else is looking at my efforts.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That really stood out to
yeah,
me.
That's definitely one of those things that we all struggle through, isn't it? Like,
mm-hmm.
people pleasing versus who am I really? And mm-hmm. am I really living out of who I am and who God's created me to be, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's good.
Yeah, I think I was also impacted in a similar vein. Like, I just thought it was such a good question to ask. Like, what did you wish Biola had taught you?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What did Biola not give you? And it was a really interesting response that she was like, you know, like, I had so much response and, like, people loved me here. Like, and now when I release music, it's just difficult and it's really hard. And I don't know, yeah, I really relate to that. Like, I think it's much easier to feel accepted and loved and, like, people like my stuff around here or, like, care about me. And I think I've already, even though I'm not out of school quite yet, but, you know, it's a fifth year for me, I've already started experiencing some of this, like,
yeah.
if someone isn't cheering for me and, like, yelling loudly mm-hmm. for me, it feels
right.
like no one cares. And at Biola, we cheer and yell for each other, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like... outside of Biola, you're like, wow, it's just, like, do people actually care? But, like, yeah, it's interesting how we gauge people's responses to us on such, like, a high bar. And I found that really, like, helpful to be like, oh, yeah, people, even if they're not, like, really enthusiastic, they're here, you know? Yeah, I don't need to gauge their response for my stuff.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. They're really clear that they're still on a journey, You know, they're still continually in process. They're learning who God is even more, and they are learning to trust Him even now. I mean, right. I think that's something I can relate with. You know, I'm just a little bit older, right? And so I'm still learning that too. You know what I mean?
25.
Yeah. Thanks.
It was really like you said, like that was really encouraging. Like that they embraced the fact that like, yes, we're still in a process. Yes, it's something that we're still continually like learning and growing, because I think just like personally, I've met with like a lot of people who graduated from college and like, you know, are getting on with their lives, and they kind of like have this idea of like, yeah, like everything's kind of well put together, and like they have like, you know, like a lot of like artists and a lot of like, you know, like just people with platforms kind of like have that, project that idea that like,
completely,
yeah, we have everything together, and like even if they have a crazy backstory, you know, like they're like, yeah, I went through all these struggles, but then somehow magically I'm here where I am. And like I think like for me personally, that like brings this big separation between like, oh, okay, so then like one day magically everything's just gonna be like fine and okay.
Yeah.
But like they clearly made that like, no, like we're still going through a process, like even though we're like, you know, putting out music, even though we're doing what we're doing, like we're still growing and we're still going through that process.
Yeah, I mean, can I ask you guys something then? I mean, like there's this weird sense, I think, that as college students, especially here at Biola or maybe at other Christian colleges or even other non-Christian colleges if we're Christian, right? There's a sense that when I graduate, I need to have it all figured out. And you know what? They don't. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little bit older. But
only 2 years older.
But I don't have figured out either. You know, I mean, there's things that I've learned, and I'm sure that there's things that they've learned. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we don't have it all figured out completely.
Yeah.
I think in my major, it's so not to be mean, but it's so type A people that we have to have it figured out. We have to figure out if we're going to grad school to be speech therapist or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's the pressure of failure, because our major, when I see people, not even in my major, but in general, they're afraid to fail because of their parents, or they're afraid to fail because others are watching them. Yeah. And I think it goes back to the people pleasing, is when we see both ends like, oh, we have to have it figured out because people are looking at me.
Yeah.
And I think that's something big that's, it's not, we don't have to have everything figured out.
Right.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I love what they say. It's like, you know, their ministry, it's about people. It's not really about music. I don't know exactly how they said it, but it's people over music, right? I think they have their priorities correct.
Right.
You know, I think there's something about the way they're trying to approach this that really stands out. Is there anything that they said that was like, you know what? I really like that priority. I really like the way that they placed their callings in life. And that's something I could learn from.
Well, I do think, like, along the same vein of what you're talking about and in line with that, like, it seemed like they didn't, you know, like, they're doing big tours and stuff. Like, I just saw Transparent Productions. I'm like, oh, they're playing with, you know, what was it, Chris Tomlin or someone. I was
Lauren Daigle.
Yeah, like,
yeah, they played with Lauren Daigle last night. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, right, at NAMM.
Yeah.
It's like, and so, like, that's where we're like, oh, yeah, they've made it. They did it. But like they're just here being like, yeah, we're in process, like everyone else, like we've been talking about, you know. It seems like their concern is not like making it to a certain place and like having like a certain amount of followers or people who care about their music, but it's like, yeah, we just want to help people. We just want to share the songs that have to like come out of us in process, and then help other people in that way. Which I think that's kind of the vibe I got from them, and I relate to. It seems like they're just very, they just, you know, need to make music and are not concerned with making it to a certain place.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's like where most, like anybody who gets there will always attest that it's like, well, doesn't feel like I thought it might, you know, it doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel like I'm satisfied, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think something that Jeff said was, you know, he was a business major. He got into like finance, into the finance field after he graduated, and like after like, you know, having that job or that career, and then like being called out for All Seasons to go to like Hume Lake, like yeah, like to me that just like, as a business major, as an accounting major, like, you know, you kind of have that idea that like, you know, you're honestly, like, I think business majors do kind of have it hard, but, like, specifically, like, accounting majors, like, you kind of have to know what you're going to do by, like, the end of your freshman year.
Whoa.
Yeah, they call it, like, the accounting plan. So, like, the summer of your sophomore year, you have to get a summer leadership program.
Yeah.
The summer of your junior year, you have to do an internship.
Right.
And then the summer of your senior year, like, you should already, like, by your senior year, you should already have, like, all of your job offers laid out,
yeah,
and you
wow.
should have all of these things. So, yeah, it's like very, it puts a lot of pressure on you sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't necessarily want to go, like, the firm route or, like, go to, like, all these crazy firms. So it was honestly kind of relieving and honestly kind of stressful at the same time.
Completely.
To hear Jeff talk about how, like, yeah, like, I got this job. I got this, you know, I was working at this finance firm. But then, like, God was calling me to, like,
yeah,
go to Hume Lake. And, yeah, like, something that doesn't seem as glorious, something that doesn't mm-hmm. seem as, you know, as amazing as, you know, these dreams that have been implanted in you this entire time at school, right? Like,
yeah,
you kind of implanted, like, yeah, you're going to get this great job once you graduate. And, like, yeah, you know, like, one thing I hear commonly as an accounting major is, like, oh, you're an accounting major, so you're actually going to have a job after you graduate.
Right. Right.
And I think that's, right. I think that's cool, but I think, like, just hearing what Jeff was talking about this morning was, like, our certainty is in God. It's not necessarily in, you know, like, our majors or, like, these choices that we make that we think are going to bring certainty.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had this great stable job, but then, you know, like, as he said, you know, like, while the rest of the band was out in Hume Lake, he felt kind of like I should be up there with them.
That's right.
So yeah, he eventually chose to do that. And I think, like, honestly, I think it's blessed a lot of people, like, a lot more people than he probably would have thought it would have blessed in, like,
yeah,
the beginning.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Right. Can you guys think of an example where, you know, you thought you were going in one direction and then God just kind of put you in a different direction, and, like, how awesome it was to actually follow God's plan versus, like, going your own way?
So my major is communication disorders. So basically, kind of, there's two routes, being an audiologist or being a speech therapist. And so my journey at Biola has shifted, and I'm called to do something differently. And so I think trying to navigate the failure of, oh, was these last four years a waste of my time? Or how did God reveal himself to me through him?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when one of them said in the earlier podcast of, seek God in everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just stood out to me because it makes me think, in everything I do, am I really doing it for God's glory?
Mm-hmm.
And so doing this change of major for grad school is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Bigger Than's my favorite song, just because of the words I resonate with.
Yeah.
And so it's not an easy an easy move, but it's going for God's plans instead of what I want to do.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's a part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is an interesting one. It'll be hard to communicate maybe, but I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, please, bro.
Which is, like, coming to Biola, I think I decided to be a music composition major sort of as a way of getting out of my comfort zone in some ways. Like, I was pretty sure I wasn't good enough for it. I still am sure of that. in part, too, sort of to, like, all of my family is musicians. And in some way, it was sort of like I felt like I had to fit the puzzle of the Sinclair music scene. And, like, nobody was a composer in my family. Like, I need to fit. Somehow, like, I need to be a musician, but in the right way. And it felt like that's kind of why I came to Biola. I had no idea about this program called Tori, but it ended up, like, God kind of, like, opened a door for me to go do that. And then I think my whole, like, freshman year, I lost my faith. And, like, it returned in a totally different form my sophomore year.
Yeah.
I think it was a good thing to lose that faith, because it was a very, like, badly founded, self-oriented one. Mm. And I think, like the way that, you know, Tori shaped and formed me, and the way that I realized that composition was just not for me, and, like, I was trying to fit into things that were not true to myself. and like how I can truly serve and help people. So it felt like over the course of the past few years, it's looked like a kind of scary journey of like letting go of a lot of beliefs and a lot of like feelings of calling, and just kind of surrendering to that. And it's interesting because I'm finding myself like stepping into a lot of what I wanted when I was like a freshman or like a senior in high school, but in a very different way and for different reasons.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's like really interesting to see that like I really had like it was really good for me to let go of the reasons I cared about, say making music or composing or worship leading or those sorts of things. And it's almost like God was like, no, those things aren't for you in this way. And I am returning and caring less for them in a great way. I'm doing a lot more worship leading. I'm doing more like composing and songwriting and a lot of things that, and I'm like stepping into a deeper and deeper Christian faith in a totally different way than I thought as a freshman. And so it's interesting to see like that the reasons I held so tightly to all those things have been stripped of me. And now I'm like, in some senses doing the same things, in some senses doing better and different things, but all for more grounded, I think, like holistic reasons. It was difficult to,
Dude, I thought you did a good job of explaining that, Justin. You know, honestly, it's kind of like we construct this self.
Yeah.
And then there comes a time where it's time to deconstruct it, right?
Totally.
And it's kind of like freshman year maybe for you.
Oh, yeah.
And it got deconstructed. But then you built these skills in the first constructed self. You deconstructed it. And now God's reintegrating both selves.
Totally.
In a more holistic way.
Yep.
I love that. And, you know, I think that's kind of like a model for all of our journeys almost, right? Mm-hmm. We construct, God deconstructs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But gives us a chance to reconstruct certain things in a new way. I love that.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I think like just what you're just saying is amazing, and I totally resonate with that because, so last spring semester I decided to take the semester off, and it was a very very deconstructive time. I've kind of been in that kind of area for like the past year maybe for like in like that kind of deconstructive mode. And it's, you know, there's moments where it's like, you know, feel hopeless, feel kind of like, oh, like nothing's ever going to change. Or like, is this how everything's always going to be?
Yeah.
But then there's like moments of hope where it's like, oh yeah, like, but God is still on his throne and God is still faithful and God is still like working in me, even though I might not feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I think at Biola and just like in a lot of like Christian circles, we have this tendency to like put emphasis on the feeling of God and like, oh, like God isn't with me because I don't feel him, but that isn't necessarily the truth. You know, if anything, it's like far from the truth, you know, because God says he would never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah.
And that, you know, being in this season, it's very interesting because it's like kind of what Justin was talking about, you know, like there's a lot of beliefs that I'm realizing were not founded on anything solid. They were actually like very just like self, I don't know, like, how'd you put it? Like
self-oriented
self-oriented beliefs.
That's good.
Right.
And seeing how like God is, I don't know, just kind of reminding me who I am and how he has made me to be, which is, it's been a very interesting journey because, you know, like I said about the accounting majors, you know, like they kind of set you on this path, like this is the path you have to take, right? And and I would definitely say that like for a moment, I definitely like fell into that mold.
Yeah.
And like tried to like fit into that mold. And it's just crazy to see how like God is reawakening desires in me that like I thought were too out of reach or too impossible for me to achieve, you know, so I remember like I've always had this giant like desire to be in like a production, whether if it was like a musical or like a play, you know, and like I always had that desire like as a kid, and then I never really like pursued it. I was just like, I don't really need to like do that right now. Like that doesn't seem like it's gonna go anywhere productive or like do anything.
Yeah.
And I really felt like like this semester, like I auditioned for the school play. I got a part.
There you go.
And like, it's been amazing to see how just like how God has reawakened that desire and passion to like worship him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
mm-hmm.
kind of showing me also like how I've kind of constructed mm-hmm. these ideas or beliefs of what worship is,
yeah.
you know, and like, oh yeah, like only this is worship, you know, only when I'm like mm-hmm. reading my Bible or only when I'm like
yeah.
worshiping mm-hmm. to like music or only when I'm like yeah. doing mm-hmm. these spiritual mm-hmm. disciplines. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like showing me that, yeah, like these small things can be done in worship.
Yeah.
You know, like my homework, my, you know, mm-hmm. rehearsals at plays, mm. and it's just
podcasts,
you know, like like this is a worship to God, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing how he's kind of like in this deconstructive time deconstructing those beliefs, you know,
yeah.
even though like we have this giant tendency, or I have this giant tendency to like want to like hold on to them and like grasp
completely,
them because completely. You know that's what you're familiar with, that's what
yeah.
you know,
right.
and realizing that like God has something so much better, mm. you know,
yeah.
and God has something so much greater
yeah.
than anything
mm-hmm.
that we could
mm-hmm.
imagine.
Yeah. Mm. No, I mean, thanks for sharing. I mean, there's a little bit of pain and hurt and a lot of disappointment in some of the things that you
mm.
guys shared,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's like, it's funny, you know, you hear something like, oh yeah, I had a plan and then God took me a different way. And then, you know, sometimes we say it in such a, like a nonchalant way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, if you actually like live it out,
mm.
they're painful, and it's like
yeah.
it becomes deconstructing in
extremely,
a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that's not
right.
that's not easy.
Right.
You know, even for you, Justin, it became a place where you like you said, you lost your faith in some
right.
sense. Mm. You know,
right? And I actually I wanted to point out one more thing about that, which is like that was a very important part of now the way that I approach worship leading and songwriting.
Yeah,
I think you might attest that usually when I lead worship, it's often seeking to create a space for
mm-hmm.
people in that place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm often like considering, you know, freshman me
mm-hmm.
and going, how can I help him? You know,
mm-hmm.
How can I like, I mean, and how can I, you know, open people up to notice the false beliefs that they have? How can I lead someone through safely a journey of doubt and unbelief?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least for them to, let go of the fear of that.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I help, you know, guide people into the Trinity? And so I think like it's interesting to think how when I wanted to lead worship as a senior in high school, it was because that was cool. And like that was like I really liked the cool music and
yeah.
it felt great to be a part of it. And it was like, oh, and we're all like singing songs to God and I love it. And now like I'll do the same. It kind of looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
But like as I said before, like it seems like the important part of my journey was that I lost my faith.
Yeah.
And that now like that's allowed me to lead worship in whole new ways. As you were talking about, like deconstructing my understanding of worship and what like that could be or what it means, and I think now viewing it more as like a form of spiritual formation,
mm-hmm.
which I think I've learned a lot from you, Mike, and a place to like guide people, create space where they can like connect with God in new ways and be honest with him and
yeah.
a lot of that anyway.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing,
yeah.
you know. So weird question, okay? In 7 years, because they're talking about 7 years ago, where do you guys see yourself in 7 years? And what would you like to see yourself in? And you know what? Maybe in 7 years, we'll listen to this again and we'll laugh at it. Okay?
That's so cool.
That's kind of the goal.
I like
right
it.
Now, right?
I'm
but
into it.
Where do you guys see yourself in 7 years? And, you know, what are some of the things that you think you want to do to get there?
That's a hard question.
It's a hard yeah. question.
That's hard. I think in 7 years, I see myself sitting on a couch listening to this podcast and making fun of college me. No, but I do think...
Well, that's a guarantee.
That's a guarantee.
I'll tell you.
I think I've come to value like... So this isn't so much like where I think I'll be, maybe... I have no idea,
right.
but where I'd like to be is, for me, the goal is no particular role or profession, but the goal is I think because of how much music means to me and comes out of me and I enjoy doing it, if I can use music to serve people in some way,
yep.
and make a living doing that,
yeah.
and have the fulfillment of like serving a community with music mm. and like deepening relationships through my vocation in music,
mm-hmm.
Making a living doing that, serving people, and like, you know, making enough money to live just playing music
yep.
for a community of people I love. That's my goal. And I think if I could be there in 7 years, which I feel like in some ways I am close to that. And like, that's a pretty, it's a nice goal to have because I don't have to like, you know, like, oh, maybe in 10 years I'll get there. It's like, well, maybe next year I'll be doing that with my church. And so
yeah.
I think it would be cool if still in 7 years I were doing that in some form. I think that could look a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my goal. Yeah.
Can I just say something about Justin? In my 6 years here, Justin is the biggest, or the, he's probably been the best singer-songwriter that I've had in here, and it's been awesome to see him grow as a person, as a musician, as a songwriter. And you know what? If anyone can make it, Justin, right here, it's you. So if anyone's listening and wants an awesome singer-songwriter, Justin Sinclair.
But let's define make it.
There because you go.
I want to make it.
And this is what I love about you.
Right.
And I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because your definition of make it's a little bit different.
Right. Exactly. It's exactly what I just said.
That's right.
To make it is to make music for a living.
That's right.
Care for people. And that's it.
That's right.
Like, I don't need to be anywhere because I know it won't satisfy, like they were talking about today. Like, oh, you know, we are doing music with, you know, this and that, and we're at NAMM doing the worship night with Lauren Daigle, and like,
yeah,
but it, you know, that's not where they find their satisfaction, so I'm just gonna skip that crap,
yeah,
and I'm gonna go ahead and seek the satisfaction in like, you know, communal service,
yeah, awesome, yeah. awesome.
I can't say I know where I'm gonna be because I have no idea
of
where
course,
the Lord
yeah.
has,
yeah,
but where I'd like to be is help. I feel like I'm kind of doing that now, but getting more is to help families and families and patients understand what a disability and a disorder is, to mm-hmm. know how to care for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like deepening the understanding, but also to help them understand that it's okay that there's the pain and that it's okay to
yeah.
have those like deep emotions,
yeah.
but how for them to change the mind to like, oh, something's wrong with them.
Yeah.
And so me to help bring understanding and serve them under that, I think that's like my big goal in
yeah.
life, is to help not just do that, but to help share the gospel through it
mm-hmm.
and know that it's okay, that there's bigger and bigger light
mm-hmm.
in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's mm-hmm. my biggest goal in life.
Yeah. Can I just affirm you too, Ryan? You are like the sweetest person ever. And like, what you just said, I want that for you.
Mm.
You know, because I think people will love to feel loved by you.
Mm.
So,
thanks,
awesome.
Mike.
Man, 7 years. I definitely have to say this first. If you were to ask me that probably 2 years ago, I would have given you an exact plan.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah. I would have given you
like
exactly what
accounting major.
Accounting major.
Yeah. The accounting plan.
Yeah, so I would have given you that exact plan. Now, and I can say this with confidence and just kind of say that, like, I'm not positive where I'm going to be in 7 years.
Yeah.
But I think that's where the joy kind of is.
Yeah.
Like, I've, like, knowing that, like, there's so many possibilities and that there is, like, I don't know, just, like, all of these things that I can do and, like, all of these things that I can pursue.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that, actually rings in my mind, like, is something that one of my business professors said last semester.
Mm-hmm.
She said, don't be afraid to pull on the strings and see where they lead you.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And
that's
I
good.
Think, yeah, I think for me, like, I'm definitely in a season where I'm, like, pulling strings, kind of seeing where they take me.
Completely.
And I've just found so much joy in that. And,
yeah.
like, I've found the Lord in that more than in this plan or, like, idea that I've had for my life, right?
So
like,
good.
You know, like, I had, like, I kid you not, like, I had, like, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and then I was, like, constructing my 20-year plan. But in 7 years, I think something very important for me is two things. staying connected with a biola community. I mm-hmm. love it here, and no matter how like far, how like long it's been, like I always want to be plugged in here.
Yeah.
Two. So I grew up in like a lower income, kind of like Hispanic, or not kind of, very Hispanic community.
Yeah.
And to me, I think it's just very important to see like growth in that community. Mm-hmm. I think one thing I definitely noticed was like not many people ever like pursue their dreams or ever pursue something greater. And I think for me, if like I can somehow connect those two communities to make something, I don't know, big or that's awesome. Not big, just like impacting as many lives as I could.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and Mike, I mean, I want to say something to you, Michael, because we don't know each other very well.
No.
But I've interacted with you a little bit. I've seen you in chapel, and can I just say, I think people really like you. No, and I mean that in a good way.
It's true.
You know? And I think people want to like follow you. That's that's my sense. So, but anyways, take it for what it is. It might not be a thing. I don't, you know, just one of those things. But cool. Is there anything else you guys feel like, man, I wish I want to say that. And this is your chance. Just like drop it. Drop the wisdom right here.
You have a really great facial hair, Mike. I really just have wanted to say that.
Thanks, Justin.
The whole time.
I think for me is to never forget God in things. We can often put God out of things. Yeah. So that's a reminder out of today's podcast. Mm.
That's so good.
Yeah, I think one thing for me that like I just want to share is, it might sound super cliche, but like don't ever be afraid or like don't ever be too scared to like do something different.
Yeah.
I can say like definitely I was put in this place where like, you know, you have to have a plan, you have to stick to your plan, and like anything different was just discouraged.
Yeah.
And like I think the things that I've done that are different, you know, like trying out for that play, or like, you know, even like doing this podcast, you know, like
that's right.
Doing things like that are where I found like the most blessing, you know, and like the most just like fulfillment in like, you know, in my soul, you know. So like I would give that encouragement, you know, like never be afraid to do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to say like be purposefully trying to find something different to like,
that's,
you know,
right,
but
right.
Like don't be afraid to like try something different that's been on your heart.
Yeah. You know what? Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I got one thought that I think piggybacks off maybe a little bit of both of those, that it kind of reminded me of something that happened last night, and maybe this is for 30-year-old me to listen to. Be like, oh, what a great memory. I was at community group last night with my church Redeemer. So Justin, just so you know, it was Robbie and Dayspring. That's the community group. Okay, you got it. Cool. And last night we practiced silence together and rest, and we're reading through Jesus, yoke being easy and his burden light, and considering what that means. And it seemed like the central thing that Jesus was getting to, which seems in a lot of ways the central goal of the Bible in like moving humans, is to surrender control and like give it back to God as it belonged in the beginning, you know. And it seems like in relation to a lot of what you guys are talking about, like it's this like don't like purposely, you know, be different just for the sake of being different, or, you know, don't like try to do your own thing. But the key, and this is something I want to continue, like when I seek silence and rest or that kind of thing, is in an everyday life, is the important movement in everything is to surrender control to God. Say, hey, you do what you want. Like, it's up to you. And then the cool thing is you don't have to do anything after that. You can just kind of trust that he'll do it. And it's always different than you expect. And my mentor says this great thing. He says, 100% of the time in the Bible, God is faithful. And 100% of the time in the Bible, God is completely unexpected.
It's good.
I think that's really good.
Yeah. True.
It's awesome. You know what? What I'm leaving with is I'm going to go back to what you said, Michael. Like, you know, pull on the strings, see where they go. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that we do on the Bible Hour is we talk about calling a lot, you know? And part of that is because, number one, I think, you know, in the emerging adulthood age range, which is kind of what this podcast is geared for, there's a lot of questions about what's next, you know, so you're thinking about calling, right? Mm-hmm. But I think more so it's, there's this weird idea that in Christian culture, you have to figure out that one calling and then just kind of like live it out. Is this, I think it's a little bit more of a dance, you know, God says a few things and, you know, I'm living out life with him a little bit. And there's a give and take, and part of it is pulling strings. You know, like I would never be here if I didn't pull strings, because I always thought that I'd be in a church and I applied to a bunch of churches. And then honestly, I just applied to this job just randomly, just because there was one process at a church in downtown LA that was taking just so long. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to apply to Viola. And I got hired in like 3 days, right? Mm. It was really fast. And I was just like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to do that.
Right.
And believe it or not, I went back to the church. I said, hey, Viola's going to hire me. Can you guys hire me? And they're like, you should take the Viola job. I was like, oh. And I was like, oh. And I didn't even move down to Orange County because, you know, for the first 2-3 years I was working here, because I was like, probably could just stay in LA and work at a church in LA. But as funny as it is, you know, God had a way better plan for me, you know?
Yeah.
And as hard as it was, you know what? I live in Orange County now, guys. I can't believe it, but I do.
Yeah.
That's painful. But anyways.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Hey, thanks for spending your afternoon with me, guys. Thanks for processing the podcast with For All Seasons. So appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, we would love it if you were to rate us on iTunes. And if you want to continue the conversation, follow us on social media.